My dad devoted his life to Jesus. Through CWH, he sought to glorify God and point people to Christ. Today, Dad reminds us that Jesus offered great hope through his resurrection. In Dad's sermon, Five Lovely Songs of Easter, he highlights those uplifting truths.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And last Sunday we had Easter, and we're still just filled with Easter. And so we're going to be talking about five lovely songs that come out of Easter. And if you don't like that, boy, you're going to be hard to please. You're just going to thrill. There are so many things come out of Easter, but I picked out five. See if you agree with me or not. But before we do that, I want to share some of the letters. We get so many letters. We read every one, and we just love all of you for writing. And here's one we get is from Platte City, Missouri. And they write and say, "Much of the time I was listening to your broadcast, I was praying for listeners around the world to come to Christ and grow as believers. And I thought, I've got to read that letter, because wouldn't it be wonderful if all over the world, when we're having this service and I'm preaching and talking about salvation and people coming to Jesus, I'm begging you to come to Jesus. What are you going to do with Jesus? You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to say yes, or you're going to have to say no. And sometimes people say, oh, I don't take sides. I'm neutral. I'm in the neutral. Well, Jesus told us something. He takes the wind out of those sails. Jesus says, if you're not for me, he that is not with me is against me. So if you don't make a stand for Jesus, you make a stand for the devil. So you decide who you want to stand for. But anyway, we should just pray. Pray that everybody that hears the service. Now, the devil, he'll do everything he can. I'll tell you what the devil will do. He will never tell you not to accept Jesus. He will never say that. He will say, wait, put it off. Put it off, that's all. Because he knows if you wait, the chances are you'll never do it. So when we give the invitation, I'm going to give it right now so I don't forget. And the invitation is this. You say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and take them away, wash them away. And I'll turn from my sins the best way I can. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. That's it. You'll never be perfect, but you try to be perfect. You try to be like Jesus, see? And so when we give that invitation, I don't know when I'll give it. I just give it when I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to. And then here's this lady. All over the world we're praying, Lord, help him. Help him to come to Jesus. Here's a letter from Webster, South Dakota. This is one of our neighbors. They say, dear pastor, we love the Christian Worship Hour. I'm so thankful for you and your crew. I'm also thankful for your messages and that you say you love us all. We love you too with love and appreciation. And I thought that is really a nice little note, because Jesus tells us, then John 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And in another place, Jesus says, they will know you're my disciples because you love one another. So just put your faith in Jesus and then just love, and that God will help us to love. And then some people say, well, you can't legislate love. You can't make people love. Oh, yes, you can. What does God say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all the heart and soul and mind and strength. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. It's a command. And we can love if we want to love, believe me. Well, here's one more. It's from people, some folks in jail, some men in jail. We hear from so many of these people. We hear from some from Alaska to Mexico. We hear them from Rhode Island or Maine or to the east, to the west coast. And we're just thrilled. We answer every letter we get from the prisoners. And they write and say, yes, Sunday here at the Meeker County Jail, several of us men get up early. We make a strong pot of coffee and wait anxiously for 8 a.m. so we can enjoy watching the Christian Worship Hour. I can't even express the appreciation we have for your program and for the biblical truth that you preach. Thank you for your message and your prayers and your letters. They're powerful and they contain a passion that little room for doubt. And so thank you for your program. We'll be watching you from the trenches. God bless. I always tell these people, now, you know, John the Baptist was in prison. Paul was in prison, but Peter was in prison. And what did they do? They sang praises in prison. They witnessed for Jesus in prison. And you can be a missionary in prison and just talk what Jesus means to you and how he gives you peace and he gives you contentment and he gives you strength to get by day by day. Just be a witness, shine for Jesus, and God will bless you for it. Well, let's get to this sermon. I can't wait to get to this sermon. And this sermon is entitled, Five Lovely Songs of Easter. We had Easter last Sunday. Now, what comes out of this? Beautiful, beautiful messages. And it's filled with hope. The Easter is filled with hope. It gives us help in our daily living. It gives us help in our hour of trial. It gives us in our time of despair and time of death. We'll go beyond the grave. It doesn't matter. When we have Jesus, this wonderful Jesus, he gives us hope and help all along the way. So first, the song of Easter is, Easter brings a message of comfort and to the brokenhearted. And a good illustration of that is Mary. We read about Mary, and she comes to the cemetery. And Mary stood outside the sepulcher weeping. That's a picture of the whole world, Mary and the sepulcher. We always have death. We always have that tomb. We always have that grave. The gospel writer comments, the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Well, believe me, that's the way we live, with the sickness and the sorrow and the sadness, and that tomb is always there. We never get around it. And so what do? We come to the gospels, and we find out that Jesus gives us help. The sepulcher was at nigh, but there was something else that was nigh. This is it. Mary is there weeping her eyes out, and she hears a voice, Mary. And she turns, and Jesus is there. And she says, Master, Rabboni, Master. Jesus was right there all the time. And Mary thought that maybe Jesus was dead. And she's weeping her eyes and crying her eyes out. And here he is. Jesus is right there. He's right by her side. And maybe today you're very sorrowful. Maybe you lost your spouse or your child or something precious to you. Maybe you're having a hard time of it. Maybe you've drifted. And you just think, oh, where is Jesus? I need Jesus. He's right there with you. And then you think, oh, he's forgotten me. He doesn't exist. I don't know where I ever find him. Well, just keep this in mind, friend. Mary was crying and weeping because she thought that Jesus was dead and gone somewhere, and Jesus was alive and right by her side. And no matter where you're going and no matter where you go through the deep waters and the fire, God says, I'll go with you. I'll be with you. Jesus is there. He's always there, and he says, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. Take heart, take heart. And then another message of a song of Easter is the encouragement to the one who has slipped, the one who has failed. And for that scripture, you can just think about Peter. Jesus is telling the women, you go and tell the disciples, go and tell my disciples and Peter. He singled out Peter, and he says, here he has, why would he say Peter? Why wouldn't he say Paul? Why wouldn't he say John? Why wouldn't he say somebody else? Peter, because Peter had slipped. Peter had just cursed that he didn't know the Lord. He had turned away from the Lord, and I'm sure Peter was brokenhearted for that. And Jesus never took his eye off of Peter. And maybe you drifted away from the Lord. Maybe there was a time you're active in the church. Maybe there was a time you're living for the Lord and you got into the wrong crowd or you got to doing something a little by little and you can't believe it how fast and how far you fell. But Jesus is still there and he loves you and you can always come back. That's the grace of God. Do you know of all the religions in the world, there's only one that has grace and that's Christianity, Jesus. And grace simply means unmerited favor. I didn't deserve it, but he did it anyway. I didn't deserve Jesus to go to the cross, but he did it anyway, and he died for his enemies. That's grace and beauty of God. So, sorrowing friend of mine, take what this is one of the Easter's lovely messages, and that is, weep not. He careth for you, and he's calling you by name. Maybe it's Mary, maybe it's John, maybe it's Mercy, God, maybe it's Harold. Wouldn't that be something? But I know he's there, and his eyes on me, and his eyes on you. Now, so this Lord Jesus, and he thinks about Peter. Peter says, I go a-fishing. That means that Peter is going back to Galilee. You remember when Jesus called Peter? He was mending his nets. And he says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And I'm the Messiah. And Peter says, yes. And Peter gave up his profession. He gave up his farm, his ranch, his business, his profession, teaching, or whatever it was. He gave it up, and he walked with Jesus and followed Jesus. And then Jesus is dead. And Jesus said, Paul, and poor old Peter is saying, oh, Jesus, I'm going back to my fishing. It's all a dream. I had hoped that it would be true, but it wasn't true. Peter is saying, Jesus is dead. And I'm just sick at heart, and I'm downhearted, but I'm going to go back. Peter slipped. Now, that doesn't mean that he was a bad man, but it just meant that he was out of the will of God. It meant that he wasn't close to God. And so Jesus, he prays, and Jesus praying for him. And I doubt if Peter realized he slipped. We seldom do until we're there, and then we realize what it's all about. But Jesus says, I'll take you back, Peter. You come back. I think of the prodigal son. And he went off and he spent his money in riotous living. And finally he says, oh, I'm going back to my father. And he went back. And his father put his arms around him, gave him a hug, took him back. That's what God will do. The Father in heaven will do that. And you drifted away. You can come right back. And then the third message, the song of Easter, is God gives us a message, direction to his followers. He says, he tells these women what to do. He says, go tell my disciples that he goeth before them. Easter is telling us that Christ is not dead. Easter is telling us that Jesus Christ is leading us. He wants to lead us and direct us and show us the way and lead us in the paths of righteousness. He says here, for instance, in Matthew 28, he said, go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. See, if Jesus is leading the way, he's going to Galilee, then he's going to lead them other places. He's finally going to lead them out into Jerusalem, and he's finally going to go to the cross. That's the way he's going. But he's leading his people, and his people are following him because they love him, and they're going to supply, and they're going to stand with him. When we don't believe and trust in him, it must make his heart ache. When we don't listen to Jesus and we don't follow his ways, it must break his heart. But he still loves us, and he'll take us back. And oh, look at Thomas, how he doubted Jesus. He sure didn't trust him, did he? And what did Thomas say? Well, he says that I'm not going to believe in Jesus unless I can feel the marks in his hands, in his side, and in his feet. I don't believe that Jesus Christ is alive. And you could call him Doubting Thomas. You could also call him Honest Thomas. At least he told you where he was and what he believed. And 8 days later, Jesus came to Thomas and the other disciples, and he spoke to the man of little faith. He spoke to Thomas. And this is what he said, John 20. Verse 27, Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas, the doubter, cried out, my Lord and my God. And that's what Jesus is doing today. He's leading us, he's guiding us and directing us. And we just need to listen to him and follow him. And when we're his sheep, we follow him. You know, in America, my dad always had sheep. I think he had one cow on the farm for a milk cow, but we always had sheep. And when I have to herd the sheep, I go behind them and I drive them along. But in the Middle East, where they had the real had the sheep, The shepherd went before them and the sheep followed them. Always followed them. And that sheep never went anywhere, but the shepherd led the way. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, "These are my sheep. You're my sheep, my pasture. And I'm your shepherd." And so he writes a 23rd Psalm. David writes a 23rd Psalm. "He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He maketh my head to run, cup to run over. He does this, he does that. He does everything for us." And that's the same Jesus. And he loves us. And when we just trust him, follow him, and let him lead and let him show the way, because he knows the way. We don't know the way, but God knows the way. And there's something else it talks about here. He says he never was mad at, he never said Jesus was mad at Thomas, and he never was mad at Peter. He was just, Jesus was heartbroken over them. And when we don't follow Jesus and when we don't do his will, it just simply means that we haven't listened to him. We're breaking his heart, but he loves us. And he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He loves us, dear friends, and we need to love him back. And when we love him back, we'll find that love and we'll revel in that love, and it gives us strength, a lovely song of Easter. And there's something else that happened here too. What did the angels say? They say, "Go and quickly and tell his disciples, go quickly. Don't be sitting around and waving around." And that's a wonderful thing. There's a beautiful, beautiful song. Go quickly. Follow Jesus now. And if you're not a Christian, if you've never accepted Jesus and you're thinking about it, and there's something just saying something to your heart, well, you know what'll happen? The devil will try to get you to postpone it. Don't you do that. And because he knows if you postpone it, you'll never do it. You just put it off. So come to Jesus. And if he's right now, you can just say, "Oh, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I hurt your heart, and I broke your heart. But I do love you, Jesus, and I want to be back with you. And I broke my fellowship, and I just come today." And then you pray. Just ask Jesus to come into your heart, take away your sins. He'll wash them all away, and he'll make you clean and pure. And then you can follow him. Oh, it is so wonderful to walk with Jesus. And I walked with him 88 years, but not always perfect. There's been times I've drifted, and there's times I got lukewarm. There's times when I didn't live up to what I should have been doing. But he never threw me away. He never cast me away. He was always there. And sometimes he had us chasing me, and sometimes he had to do things in my life, put me in a hard spot that I could only look just to look up. He puts me on my back sick so I have to look up and see him. That's the only way to look is up, and it's because he loved me. And what does the scriptures tell? It says that God chasteneth every son that he scourgeth every son that he receives. And he does it because he loves us. He wants to make us better. He wants to make us good. He wants to make us like himself. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. And then the final message is the message of strength for the weak. I'm sure no one likes to admit it, but there's time that we're weak. Weak as water. And that's the way Peter was, Thomas was. He just wouldn't believe. His faith was so weak. But Jesus came to him, talked to him, spent time with him, and he came to know the Lord Jesus. He came back to Jesus. He became a staunch servant of the Lord, a strong follower of the Lord, and walked with the Lord. But I'm just praying that some of these messages will get to your heart and that you'll say, "Oh, yes, I know he loves me." You know, I think about Peter so often, and I wonder, what did he think after he denied the Lord and he swore, he cursed, and after Jesus said, "You're going to deny me," and he cursed, and then he went back to Galilee and he thought, "Oh, I blew it. I had my chance to walk with Jesus. He'll never have any part with me. I failed him. He'll want a man or a woman or a boy or a girl or a young person that's strong, too strong to fall. And so I'm done. He's through with me." But when you just stop to think about it, Jesus kept praying for him. And he told Peter, he says, "Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And Peter did, he did fail a lot of ways, but his faith never failed. He always had that faith. And there he was when Jesus came, that faith was there, see? And so that's what God is doing today. And that's what he's doing through Easter. He's sending these wonderful messages and he's telling us, I want you to be my follower and I want you to help me in my work. And so he says, if you'll just do that, put your faith in the Lord Jesus and then follow him the best you can. Now, nobody's going to be perfect. And I'm going to have people come to me and say, oh, I blew it. I sinned terribly. And I've sinned against the Lord. Will the Lord forgive me? Yes, he'll forgive you. And because he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. Well, then you say, I failed several times. I've tried this habit, and I get back in it, and I try to get out of it, and I get back into it. And what am I going to do? How many times will he fail? How many times will he forgive me? And I guess maybe 55,000 or something like that. He says that where grace is, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The grace of God. You can't imagine that wonderful grace of God. He says where we sinned, our sins, our grace is greater than all of our sins. So you come to Jesus and you strive to do it and then he'll help you. And he'll give you strength that you didn't have. Because I know sometimes people say, well, I'm going to clean up first. I'm going to get my life cleaned up and then I'll come to Jesus. But I don't dare come the way I am because I'm so dirty. And it reminded me of the poor little woman. She lived in poverty. And she had a dirt floor for her house. And she wanted to clean the floor. And so she got some water. She got some soap and she scrubbed the floor. And the more she scrubbed, the worse it got. And she gave up in despair. That is the way it is in your old nature. You can't clean it up until you have God to help you. And so with all of your sins, you come to Jesus. Don't get your sins all washed and get them cleaned up some way. Come just the way you are. And he'll give you a new nature. You'll have the old nature. That's why we can always sin. That old nature will be there. But you have the new nature. It's the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and he'll dwell within you. And he'll give you strength and help. And you can overcome your bad habits. You can overcome whatever you have. And God will help you. Now, maybe you got a sickness. God isn't going to cure you. He doesn't cure all sicknesses. But he's able to. But just give it to Jesus and always pray, thy will be done. Now, if you made that prayer, will you write to us or get to us? We'll send you literature anywhere in the world. We'll send you literature, help you get started in the Christian life. And then if you want to have our little Bible study, the eyes of the Lord this coming month. And so you say, I want the Bible study. If you want the film on the heart of a shepherd, you just say a heart and put the film or put the shepherd or heart of a shepherd. And we send them out on a free will offering basis. And if you don't have a penny to your name, you just write and we'll send it anyway. We've been doing that for 40 years, depending on God's people to help us. We're not underwritten by any organization, any corporation or denomination. It's just God's people. And this is the way we do it. We say to you should just watch the service. If you think it's something God is using and something God is in, that God is in it, then you ask if you should send some of the tithe money. That's God's money anyway. It isn't your money. It isn't our money. But you just say, do you want me to support them? And if he says yes, then you say, how much, Lord? What should I give him? And then you do whatever the Lord says and he'll bless you. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. I'm going to give it again for all you shortwave people. Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then let me tell you something else we do. We're a member of an organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And that's a worldwide organization. And I'll tell you what they do. They check our books. They audit our books. And they see on our receipting and our spending. Every penny is accounted for. So we need your prayers and we need your help, and we're going to be looking for that. We've been doing this way for 40 years, over 40 years. God's never failed us once. Now I want to pray, and in our prayer, we're going to pray for the church in Cuba. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray to you. Thank you for this time together. We just pray that multitudes will be opening their heart to you, and others will come back, be coming back to you, and that we'll walk together until you come or you take us home. Dear Lord, we're praying for those who are suffering in Cuba today, and they're under oppression, that dear people, and we ask you to just bless them and encourage them. Tell them we're praying for them and we're taking courage from them. And dear Lord, I pray for those on beds of sickness, and I pray for the elderly, I pray for the children and the young people, pray for all who have needs, that all will come to the Savior and trust him. Pray it in Jesus' name, amen. So once again now, just before we leave, Box 2 Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or christianworshiphour.net, and we'll get your words and we'll get your communication. So we'll be praying for you and you pray for us. And one of these days the trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and the rows of us will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. We'll ever be with the Lord. And always remember this. I always close with this. God loves you no matter who you are, where you are, what you've done. He loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Come to Jesus right now. And I want you to know the Christian Worship Hour. Most all of us are volunteers, and we're just doing the work for the Lord the best we can. And we do it because we love you. And I want you to know that I love you, dear friends. And I pray for the Christian Worship Hour every day. And we're doing our very best. But you have to do your part. You have to open your heart to Jesus. You have to follow along. And if you will, you'll find that there are many, many wonderful songs of Easter that will bless your heart and help you along the way. And he'll put a good step for you, and he'll give you a song in your heart, all because you walk with Jesus, and he's walking with you, and he'll never leave you or forsake you. So take that to the bank and deposit it. God bless you, everyone. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.